An army of invasive carp is moving up the Illinois River toward Lake Michigan. Currently about 50 miles from the lake, these fish would completely dominate the Lake Michigan ecosystem. A plan to stop the fish has been in the works for years. Planning for the $1 billion Brandon Road Interbasin Project began in 2020. But the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has paused funding for the project. We wanted to understand how the invasive carp would affect the Lake Michigan ecosystem and how it can be stopped. Joel Brummeyer is president and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Joel, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much.
What threat do invasive carp species pose to the Great Lakes?
So the bighead and silver carp species that are moving towards Lake Michigan are large, and they breed and feed better than all the native fish in the Great Lakes. And so think of it as a fish that can come in and can take out the base of the food web, eat up all the food, can reproduce really quickly, and then outcompete all those native fish like whitefish and yellow perch and things that people rely on and enjoy fishing for here in the Great Lakes. And that's why there are such great concern to the Great Lakes states, because we've seen this story before, right? We've seen the impacts of invasive species and how they can decimate our fisheries and our outdoor way of life. And so the states have been really on the front lines of trying to make sure that these carp get stopped before they can establish in Lake Michigan and the rest of the lakes.
When you talk about altering the base of the food system, of that ecosystem in the Great Lakes, do these invasive carp have any predators that are known?
Not here in the Great Lakes. And that's one of the characteristics of an invasive species, is they are from another part of the world and they go to another place where they don't have those natural predators. And so they quickly outpace the size of any fish in the Great Lakes that would consume them. And so unfortunately, once they're in a body of water and they start reproducing, they really quickly become impossible to get rid of.
You've mentioned other invasives here. I mean, we've seen in Lake Michigan the zebra mussels impact, the sea lamprey impact. How do carp compare in the amount of damage they could do to the lakes and the overall ecosystem?
I would put carp right up there with sea lamprey, zebra, and quagga mussels in terms of their potential impact on the Great Lakes. So this is a huge red flag that these fish are swimming towards Lake Michigan. People who were around when the zebra mussels first took hold remember how they just coated everything and quickly just changed how the Great Lakes ecosystem operated. Sea lamprey, which grab onto the sides of fish like lake trout and other large predator fish that are really desirable for fishing, and kind of literally suck the life out of them. Carp, because they are so good at eating, they could quickly remove a lot of food from the Great Lakes and have just as big of an impact as things like sea lamprey and zebra mussels, particularly in places like Green Bay, which is a sort of a, what we call a nutrient-rich part of the Great Lakes. It's a place with lots of plants, lots of food, and unfortunately, really great habitat for bighead and silver carp.
So timeline here, how quickly, if they get in, how quickly could the fish overwhelm a Great Lake or even overwhelm the Bay of Green Bay?
Unfortunately, with invasive species, it's really hard to say exactly when the population will explode, right? Mm-hmm. And by the time that happens, it's already too late. So once you see evidence of a large population, they're already here, they're already established, and getting rid of them is next to impossible. And so what we know is that we've got to prevent them from getting in the first place, and that once they're established somewhere, it's almost certain they're going to spread throughout the rest of the Great Lakes, especially in those bays, those rivers, inland lakes, places where they're going to find really good habitat. That could take a year. It could take 5 or 10. But unfortunately, if they do establish, you know, history tells us that they will continue to spread across the Great Lakes Basin. And Lake Michigan, of course, is the first frontier that we hope they don't get to.
Is there any evidence that invasive carp are already in the Great Lakes?
There's been some what we call eDNA, environmental DNA evidence of the presence of bighead and silver carp, but none of this means that there's an actual invasion happening yet. The real front of the big population of these fish is actually about 50 miles directly southwest of Chicago in the Illinois River. And so far, because of a lot of the work that's happening right now, we're holding the line on the location of those fish. So there have been a few individuals found, but there's no evidence that there's an established invasion, which is good news as long as we take advantage of the time we've got to actually put preventive steps in place and stop these fish from moving any further towards the Great Lakes.
We're going to look at that prevention in just a moment. But in terms of the fishing economy in the Great Lakes, how might a carp invasion affect those businesses that rely on Lake Michigan?
The Great Lakes Fishery Commission estimates that the regional fishery, most of which is sport fishing, so the kind that would be really devastated by carp invasion, is valued at around $5 billion of annual economic impact. So it is a huge deal, particularly for states with, you know, hundreds of miles of shoreline and hundreds of communities that depend on recreation and tourism. These are places that could potentially really feel the impacts of a fishery, of a die-off of a native species, for example. You're seeing some of that play out right now for other reasons with the collapse of the whitefish fishery, which is devastating both commercial fishing and sport fishing alike. So in the Great Lakes Basin, fishing is a big deal, not just because it is valued at $5 billion, and not just because we can have a commercial operation to take advantage of it, but this is a tradition that people pass down through their families, right? You know, I grew up fortunately being able to go out on a very small rowboat in Lake Huron and had the chance to fish when I was a kid. There are, you know, thousands of people across the region like me who've had that generations of connection to the Great Lakes. And those are the kinds of experiences and that sort of culture that's really at the root of who we are, our outdoor lifestyle here, that are at risk when we talk about the impacts of invasive species.
We're talking with Joel Brummeyer, the president and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes, as we look at the threats invasive carp pose to the Great Lakes and what is being done to stop them. Let's now talk about the technology to stop the invasive carp, the Brandon Road Interbasin Project. It's been in the works for several years to stop the fish from entering Lake Michigan. How would this project work?
The first thought when we sat down, and this is decades ago, thinking about how do you stop invasive species from getting from the Mississippi River into the Great Lakes is to look at the Chicago area, because there's a network of canals and rivers that connects the Mississippi River to Lake Michigan. With that comes locks and dams, right? And so there's a site called the Brandon Road Lock and Dam, southwest of the city of Chicago, right near where the Des Plaines and the Illinois River come together. And this provides sort of a ready-made spot where the canal narrows down and you can start to install technologies and change lock operations in an effort to stop critters who aren't supposed to be there from being able to swim through the lock and get into the waters that are close to Lake Michigan. So the Brandon Road Lock and Dam Project will create a new channel near that lock. It'll install a whole host of technologies in that channel that can deter fish from moving. It'll change how the lock operates so it can make it really hard for something to swim through. And all that combined will dramatically reduce the risk that bighead and silver carp can move any further towards the Great Lakes.
And with these technologies, I mean, it's a multifaceted approach. In some respects, I'm thinking, like, throw it out there, see what works. I mean, because you got the electric barriers, you got the bubble curtain, the boat ramps and washing stations, and, of course, electric barrier. Why such a mix of approaches here?
Well, the engineering reason is we're talking about reducing risk, right? And so every additional layer of protection means less risk that a fish can get through. So if they get through an acoustic barrier and they hit the electricity, that may stop them. If they get through two of the barriers and they hit the third bubble barrier, that may stop them. If they make it to the lock, right, the very few that might get there are going to be washed out through the modified lock operation, right? So adding all those technologies on top of each other creates much better protection than what we have right now, which is a single experimental electrical barrier further up in the system. This is a custom designed system. It has been in the works for decades. It is authorized by Congress. It's being funded by Congress and two of the Great Lakes states, Illinois and Michigan, with the support of the whole region. It's really great. It has been great to see such a consensus built across these states with, you know, different political leadership, different members of Congress all saying, yeah, this is the place where we can make our stand and make sure that we are doing the best we can to minimize the risk that this happens. And we're hopeful to see that project move forward and being built as fast as possible.
The project is political. In 2023, estimated to cost over $1 billion. You know, 3 years later, what is happening with the funding for Brandon Road?
Well, there's some good news. The good news is that the states of Michigan and Illinois each put up nearly $100 million combined to pay for their local share of the project. In 2022, Congress appropriated a little more than $200 million for its initial share of the project. So that was for what we call phase one construction. And so all the money that is needed to complete phase one construction has already been appropriated and provided. That's really good news. Unfortunately, we've also seen some delays recently where some grants have been held back from the federal government. There has been some delays in contracting that are actually preventing the project from moving forward. But we also know that the support for this project is near universal. And so those delays have been frustrating, but that phase one money has all been in place. And in fact, construction kicked off at the beginning of 2025. So Earth's already moving, technologies are already starting to be, put in the water, and we're excited about keeping this project moving forward.
Has construction paused since the Army Corps of Engineers paused its funding?
Yeah, so the Corps, under direction of the White House and the administration's leadership, has paused contracting for reviews at the high level of the federal government, which has been frustrating because to our knowledge, there are a couple contracts that are being held up that has delayed contracting. It hasn't delayed construction yet, but relatively soon, if those contracts don't get signed, the Corps is going to have to go back and sort of do its procurement process all over again, which is going to add another 6 months to this project unnecessarily. Again, because, the contracts are ready to go and the money's already there. Bigger picture, if you step back, last year, the president said that this project is supposed to move forward with all speed and efficiency. We know that that's not happening right now, but one of the benefits of that could be that we could actually start phase two construction later this year if Congress appropriates additional money. But again, if you're facing these contracting problems and you've got internal reviews at this high level of the federal government that are holding things up, it's going to make it difficult to move the project forward as fast as it should be moving for the Great Lakes.
Outside of these phases of the project, an individual might be wondering, what can I as a fisher do to help prevent the spread of invasive carp into Lake Michigan? Is there anything?
There's always something you can personally do, and a couple very different options. One, whether you're an angler or you enjoy outdoor recreation in some other way, you just care about the Great Lakes, it is important to tell your elected officials how important this project is to you. The reason it's gotten this far is because there's broad public support across the Great Lakes region for a project that's nationally important. But another, more practical, close to home thing you can do is, if you're a boater or an angler, just be really aware when you're moving your vessel from one water body to another, right? Wash your hull off, check your lines, make sure you're not moving plant matter or other, sort of detritus from water body to water body on your fishing lines. Keeping your operation clean, the one that you keep in your garage or you keep in your slip, that is a great way to make sure that you're not part of the problem and actually moving live critters from one place to another and spreading them around. Whether it's the Great Lakes or the Mississippi River Basin or wherever you like to go, that's something you can do to make sure that you're being part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Joel, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here, and thanks for chatting about the Great Lakes.
Joel Brummeyer is CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. We learned about efforts to block invasive carp from reaching the Great Lakes as the Army Corps of Engineers pauses funding for the carp project that is under construction.